Jesus, you're my hope.
Oh, yeah. You can't keep that on. Just hold it like this. When it's time, just hold it like this. Oh, yes. In addition to our regular audience, we have a new audience today. And we thank God for your presence all around the world. This technology is amazing. I hope that you're here to worship. And so we welcome our new audience. We thank God for you being here. We have a whole lot going on today, so bear with us as we reach thousands more with the gospel of the Word of God. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. As I preach in your hearing today, we have another camera going out here today. Some of you may be able to see it. This technology is something else. But as I was saying, I am preaching a message that I was going to preach on yesterday, on the day that I normally preach Second Coming messages on Saturday. I have done so for many years in the Second Coming chapel service. And really, this is a message that has been brewing in my heart for quite a while. Because we heard a lot about the great falling away of the church for many years. I fear that many of us did not believe it was going to happen, but we have seen it with our own eyes. And so I wanted to preach in your hearing today. We are in the midst of the great falling away. We are smack dab in the middle of what the Bible predicted very clearly through the Apostle Paul, the great falling away, or the great apostasy. Those of us who are truly saved and born again, we are experiencing and we are watching with our own eyes what we have heard preached about for many years. Found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, make no mistake about it, that is going to happen. We are in the middle of the great falling away. The great tribulation is coming. You say, well, I thought we were in it. No, we're not in it yet. Or those who will be here are not in it. But then we will see the great rapture before the tribulation. We will see the great rapture of the church, and then the great tribulation, and then the great second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything from now on is great. You can believe that, and it is happening. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Don't allow your mind to be troubled at what you are witnessing and seeing, or be troubled. Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Shall we pray? Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Lord God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and the many and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years, the many thousands of prayers answered, the ability and the mind to pray to you in faith believing. Thank you for the thousands of deliverances and miracles that you have worked for me and my family and all of your born-again saved ones who truly believe in you and who strive to obey you. Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you and thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us all, who are saved and born again, and even upon those who are not yet saved and born again. Because of your long-suffering, your grace, your mercy, and your goodness, which is mind-boggling to such wretched and wicked people as we are. And Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, I pray for all of the Christians who are watching us all over the world through our regular means and now through our newer means, which is the technology is mind-boggling. Lord, no matter what they are doing, no matter what they have been doing, Lord, help them, arrest them by your Holy Spirit, and help them to hear and see the gospel and come to know you as Savior. We still pray for over 3 million to hear the gospel around the world from this pulpit and to get saved as you saved me over 43 years ago. Help them to truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not as just a historical figure, but as the Savior of the world. Help them to understand that he came and suffered and bled and died for all of the wicked sins that we have committed. He paid our sin debt. He died to save us from hell and to save us to heaven with you. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for our sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord, grab their hearts and grab their spirits as you grabbed mine that wonderful night, December the 19th, 1979. Save their souls. Have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. For those of us who are Christians and who are believers in Christ and saved, where we have sinned in your sight and before you, even as saved people, in word, thought, and deed, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh, and the old man within us all, and fill us all tonight with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. And have us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, and not fulfill the lust of our wicked, ungodly flesh. And Holy Father God, I do pray that, Lord, you will have all of these things to be done. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Put a guard at our hearts, our minds, our tongues, and attitudes that we would not sin against you. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will help those of us who are saved and born again to come back from our backslidden state, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I pray for the salvation of those who are lost in my family And Lord, I pray for confirmed salvation of my own wife, Marika White, that she will live out her salvation as she is still helping in the ministry as she has for over 35 years. But Lord, help her to do it out of a genuine love for you. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of her mother, her aunts, and her siblings, her family. I pray for the salvation of my mother and my siblings and family members everywhere, that they who are church-going will not be deceived by the devil into thinking that they're going to heaven just because they've been going to church all of their lives. Lord, help them to understand that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, that we avoid hell and go to heaven, is by simply believing in you and trusting in you who paid our sin debt, our ugly sin debt. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of leading all of my children to you at the age of 7. And Lord, I believe most of them are saved. I'm concerned about a couple. I pray that all of them would examine themselves and to make sure that they are saved and born again. I pray for Danny, Daniel, and Danita, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, Danielle, Duran, Danielle, and Quazia, and all of the children of Christian families in this country and children who are not in Christian families. Have your Holy Ghost, the person of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to the hearts of millions even right now and convict them of their sins. Save those who are lost in this country and in every country of the world and around the globe. And Holy Father God, I pray that as I am preaching the gospel, that the governments of the world would not try to hinder me or stop me. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, today, that you would revive those of us who are saved, save those who are lost, heal those of us who are sick all over the world, comfort those who are grieving like never before. Lord, we are not in the tribulation yet, the tribulation period yet, but there is a whole lot of tribulation going on and pain going on as a precursor to that awful period. Thank you, Holy Father God, for letting the world know that you're in charge and that you want things to go your way for our good. And thank you for your holy word that is coming to pass day by day. Help your people to believe it. Help others to believe it as well. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will, even this evening, lift our sin burdens, guilt burdens, care burdens, anxieties, troubles, problems, and fears from our feeble hearts and minds, souls, and spirits. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And tonight, Lord, deliver those of us who are saved by your grace and by your mercy. Deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, persecutions. And, Lord, help many of us to fast starting at 12 midnight tonight, that you would cast out the satanic and demonic spirit of wokeism out of the lives of people who have been infected by it, even in the church. For some don't even realize it, that their pastors and pastors' wives and church folk have been influenced, so negatively influenced by wokeism, that they have fallen away themselves and have not recovered, so many of them. So, Lord, I do pray that you would deliver us, Lord, from our persecution, deliver us from all spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles, and difficulties. And Lord, deliver, Lord, my family and all of your Christian families and all of the people. I pray a special prayer for my children, Danny, Daniel, and Danita, Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Danielle, Duran, Danielle, and Quazia. Protect them all, Lord, from the onslaught and attacks of Satan, the devil, and the demons of hell. Protect us from ourselves. Protect us from our flesh and the devil and the demons of hell. Protect us, Lord, from evil members in the family, evil members in the church, and, Lord, evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us all with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. And, Lord, I pray that you will cover us and cleanse us through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for allowing things to be as well as they are. Thank you for your chastening hand upon us. And thank you, Lord, for remembering mercy, love, and grace that, as I read on yesterday, that we're all but flesh. Have everything that we say and do and hear to be done for your glory, your praise, and your honor, for the glory, praise, and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Pardon me. If I was Bishop Daniel White Jr., that's my dad, I would break out singing. But since I can't sing like him, I'm not going to do that. I thought about this the other day, that before, long before Bishop T.D. Jakes came on the scene, there was a man named Bishop Daniel White Jr. That God had used and brought from almost slavery and certainly Jim Crow. No real education to speak of. I think he had an eighth grade education. Went into the Air Force, baseball player, and popular with the ladies, including my mom. And God gave him a gift to sing, and then God saved him, I believe, through the preaching of Billy Graham. His life changed. One of the most loving fathers you'll ever want to have, but he loved us too much and he let us get away with too much. He let his wife, my mother, get away with too much as well, because he never had a father, so he never understood that love is a many splendid thing, and love also includes rebuke and chastisement. But God took his feeble life from the dusty roads of James City, North Carolina, no education, no college. And he became, by the grace of God, one of the most popular preachers in that region. And I thought about that because I wrote an article recently, and I mentioned him in the article, and I touched on the fact that T.D. Jakes is making some of the same mistakes that my dad made. And I warned him from that, and told him he does not have to make those mistakes. And there are mistakes that come from loving too much, even thinking that you're more loving than God or Jesus. And none of us are that way. None of us love more than God and Jesus. And so we need to stick with His word. No matter how we may be moved, emotionally moved to do something, we have to say no sometimes to people. And if you want to read about that article, it is on bcnn1.com. And so today, my beloved, I want to touch on this passage. This will be a series. Our second coming, our next second coming series. I want to thank my sons, Daniel White IV and Daniel Ezekiel White, for being used of the Lord to be a blessing to their father for many years and helping me to write these sermons and put these sermons together for the second coming services every Saturday. And they were right here with me for many years. I give God the glory, praise, and honor. For all seven of my children with my wife, Marika White, we're in the emptiness stage, which probably neither one of us thought we would make it to this stage. But I thank God for the thousands of days that God gave me with my children and them helping me in the ministry. And they know that I've been taking a break. They've been taking a break as well, and theirs is well deserved. As we just finished preaching the gospel and the word of God March the 10th for over 7 years, nearly every day. And I'm so happy to see them take a break, because they worked hard in the ministry with their father. My sons helped me with the sermons, and they know that I have been on a break from preaching some of the series because it takes a lot out of you. And when you're doing it every day like that, it took a whole lot out of me. And I'm not sure if I'm ready to get back started to it in the various series that we have done and that I have done or not. I may wait till the fall, but right now I'm feeling like we're going to pick up the Saturday service again, and this is the first second coming chapel service, which I'm doing on Sunday. But either way, it is the word of God. So we're dealing with the subject of the great falling away of the church. The church in general and sad to say, maybe some who are truly born again in the church, who are backslidden on God. Dr. Guzik said about this amazing passage, signs marking the coming day. Let no one deceive you. Don't let anybody fool you. And if you recall, Jesus said things like this when he was here. Paul, of course, in this passage, Peter as well. They warned us to not let the devil, the flesh, false prophets, or anybody else fool you or deceive you into thinking these things that we're predicting and prophesying in the Word will not come to pass. In fact, some people are falling away because they don't believe the Word of God. And I thank God only by His grace and mercy that I'm not one of them. I believe the Word of God, and I believe in the Word of God as I did over 43 years ago when I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe. And I want to encourage you to still believe. Let no one deceive you by any means. And because if you stop believing the Word of God, it will impact how you live. And one of the great benefits and blessings of the second coming and the knowledge of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as most of us know, it has a purifying effect. It will help you not to foolishly do things that you know you ought not to do because you know somebody is watching you and you know somebody's coming back. It has a purifying effect. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And by the way, most of us who are saved and born again, we've heard one or two or more messages on the falling away. We've read it in the Bible. Some of us have looked it up in commentaries. And so we're not ignorant of these things. We have read about it. We have heard about it, not as much as we should have. But it became real. The falling away became real when God, in punishing the church and the world, chastising the church, rebuking the church, and punishing the world, with the plague that God led me to predict 10 years ahead of time, He moved me so much to get the message out that I started preaching for over 7 years, 4 years before the plague hit, each and every day, or nearly each and every day. Took a few breaks. By the grace of God, that is up there as far as plagues go with the chastisement of the bubonic plague upon the then known church, mostly the Catholic Church, so many years ago. That never really went away totally. Just like the coronavirus plague has not gone away totally. God shook the world, approved by the governments of the world, the WHO, World Health Organization, finally announced over 20 million people died from the coronavirus plague. That is a plague of biblical proportions, my dear friends. You can try to laugh it off and joke it off and not take it seriously and lie about it all you want to, because it's really more like 50 million people died. That's the truth. And thousands are dying each day around the world from the coronavirus plague. So when God shook the world, when God shook his people first, and pastors and bishops and pastors' wives and bishops' wives and priests, and all kinds of church leaders were dying every day, just as it happened with the bubonic plague. God shut down the churches. I said, God shut them down. God has no problem doing that. I know you think you're so special, church folk, that God will not touch you. He will, and he has, and he'll do it again. And it doesn't bother him. If he tore down the temple of Solomon because of their disobedience and rebelliousness and foolishness and evil and pride and stubbornness, he'll tear your church down, and he has. Don't get mad at me. That's the reality. I warned you. You didn't listen. You thought you could continue in your adultery and your fornication and your homosexuality inside the church, and your swinging and everything else inside the church of God, and still give communion and take communion. And God showed you that what he has said is true. You can't do that with him. You didn't believe him when he told you that if you take communion unworthily and give communion unworthily, he'll allow you to get sick, or he'll take your life. Is God still good? Yes, he is. He's so good that he loves us so much that he's not going to let us do that to him and against him, because it's going to be bad for you. But the falling away has been very noticeable when after God shook the world. And is still shaking the world. Shook a lot of folk out of the church. Shook a lot of prosperity gospel preachers and their wives and their followers who were in it for the money and materialism and for business purposes and not for Jesus. They're all gone now for the most part. You still got a few trying to hold on to that lie. Can't find some of the preachers that were popular before the plague. Begging for money. Stealing money. Couldn't find them during the plague. When people were trying to get their money back from them, they needed $1,000 love offering. Couldn't find them. And so a major falling away. And then not only the plague of the coronavirus hit, another plague hit called wokeism. And it has done great damage as well upon people who claim to be Christians, claim to be believers. So many have fallen away through the demonic spirit of wokeism. The great falling away. The Bible speaks of the man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Evidently, He will appear soon. We don't know when, and we don't know who it is. So you don't need to try to name the Antichrist, because you don't know. People have been trying to name the Antichrist for years. One time they said Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist. Another time they said Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist. Somebody said that Bill Clinton was the Antichrist. And on. You don't know who the Antichrist is, but he will be revealed soon on God's schedule, not your schedule or mine. For that day will not come, the Bible says. Paul will not describe events which must precede the rapture, but events that are concrete evidence of the great tribulation, the day of Christ. In this sense, one cannot be certain the day of Christ, the great tribulation, has come unless these signs are present. This phrase is not, let me say it this way, this phrase is debated among scholars, but is very appropriately added. Dr. Alford said of the phrase, "For that day will not come." The King James Version has it right. There does not seem to have been any intention on the part of the apostle to fill up the ellipsis. It supplies itself in the minds of God's people. Dr. Guzik said, unless the falling away comes first, the ancient Greek wording for falling away indicates a rebellion. And we have rebellion in the church. Hear me well. We have rebellion in the family. We have rebellion in the government against God like never before. I've never seen it like this before. Indicates a rebellion or a departure from the faith, the fundamentals of the faith, even for so many. What the Bible says plainly, God led me to rebuke a group of people this past week in writing. Some Baptist preachers, and I love all of my brethren, and I love them enough to tell them the truth. They know, and I know, that we as Bible-believing Baptist preachers, we do not say stupid things like, let's pray about what the Word of God says and dialogue about it. We don't do that. We have never done that in our history, in a real sense. That's what someone suggested. Now let's pray about this for a year as to whether or not a woman can be a pastor of the church over men when the Bible is very clear from Genesis to Revelation. Let's dialogue about it. And I've shared this with you in the past, and I've shared this with my wife and my children, as well as we have watched different little shows and symposiums and little discussions down through the years. Do you know we are a country of people who like to dialogue and get nowhere? Have you noticed that? And that spirit has falling off into the church, where theologians like to sit down with their pink socks on and no socks, and sit down and cross their legs and get a cup of coffee and dialogue about issues that God has already said they're wrong, so don't do it. The Southern Baptist Convention made some strong biblical decisions this past year, excommunicating, if you will, a $1 billion church because they violated the Word of God on two fronts. They don't realize the first front led to the second front. See, what many evangelicals and Protestants and Bible-believing Baptists don't understand is the slippery slope of sin is the worst slippery slope to mankind, known to mankind. See, and this is a problem. Thank God, years ago, preachers used to preach on this. See, you let go, you let sin go here, eventually it's going to move on to a greater sin, and then move on to a greater sin. Before you know it, you're in trouble with God. So let me show you what I'm talking about. There was one time, where the church stood strong on divorce and remarriage. They stopped believing that. They allowed pastors' wives, they allowed deacons, trustees, people in the church who should not even be members of the church, become leaders of the church, divorced and remarried with two and three different wives and families and so forth and so on. Oh, and then so the church accepted it. They didn't realize back then that they were opening the door for all kinds of other sins, including so-called, which they never thought about, homosexual marriage. Which in reality, they cannot stop homosexual couples from becoming members of the church when you, pastor, you're divorced twice and your wife is divorced three times and you all are pastors of the church. And on top of that, the homosexuals knew that you're responsible for homosexualizing them as a child. You sodomized them when they were at the altar. Pastor, bishop, priest. So, the homosexuals have said to many churches and bishops and pastors, I don't care if you like it or not, pastors' wives and their families and everybody else, checkmate. This is why the church is just as responsible as the government for the onslaught of the abomination of homosexuality and homosexual marriage and other such foolishness. Look at me real good. It's not time to bow your head to pray. Keep looking at me. See, one thing leads to another. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so therefore, churches around the world who used to have respect and authority do not. The American government, the U.S. government, does not even inquire about what the church thinks anymore because they got them lock, stock, and barrel. I thought I had more water than that. So Bible scholars debate if it refers to an apostasy among those who once followed God, or a general worldwide rebellion. In fact, Paul may have both in mind. Have you ever thought about that? Not only the falling away of the church, but because the church has fallen away, guess what else falls away? The world that we're supposed to be reaching with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if the world and worldly governments see the church falling apart, look at me real good. I don't care if you, and I got people mad at me for saying this in the evangelical church, won't support me anymore, won't help me anymore in the ministry. They think that by taking money away from me, I'm going to stop preaching. I'm not. So I don't care if you get mad at me or not. I want you to hear me well. When the world sees the pastor and the bishop and the pastor's wife being whoremongers and whores inside the church, caught up in scandal after scandal, and by the way, Dr. David Jeremiah, who is probably doing the best preaching on the second coming of Christ living among the preachers living today, said churches are falling away and people are falling away who used to be in the church and regular and faithful because of apostate falling away pastors and bishops and so-called church leaders. This is why I have told you from the get-go that the church, because of her evil against God and Jesus Christ, and this is what these preachers don't like. They don't want anybody. You know why they don't like it? Because they don't want, they want me to keep it among ourselves. They don't want me to tell the whole world that the church, the bishops, the pastors' wives, the deacons and the trustees, the so-called church leaders, who have lived in adultery, committed adultery, lived in adultery, divorced their wives and husbands, and are still in the ministry. Now they're so wicked, they're committing swinging among the leadership in the church, homosexuality, and because of my position in the church, I know about these things. I'm not guessing about them. I know about them and have been responsible for reporting a whole lot of this hypocrisy over the past 20 plus years. And they know I know. And then they don't know what I know. So I'm not worried about them bothering me. I am worried about them bothering you. Those of you who are lost and you have not heard the gospel because the pastors and the preachers and the pastors' wives are so busy swinging, committing adultery and fornication and being bisexual and on the down low in the church. And then they try to look holy and try to keep you out of the church because you're a homosexual, you're a sodomite. When they're doing the same thing. This is why I'm hated. I'm hated by the church, hated by the world, hated by my own family members. And they want me to just go along, to get along. Why you got to turn? Why you got to rub the cat the wrong way? Billy Sunday said, I'm not rubbing the cat the wrong way. Turn the cat around. The cat needs to repent. People in the church need to repent. They don't want to do that. Because they love the pleasures of sin for a season. I know. Pardon me. The problem is not the world. And see, God has made that very clear from his word. He has made it very clear to me by the power of his Holy Spirit. Don't go around like some of our sweet evangelicals and Protestants like to, condemning the world and telling the world is messed up. No, you're messed up. That's why the world is messed up. The church is messed up. The so-called church leaders are messed up, who won't preach the word and preach the truth. That's why the world is messed up. So I agree with Dr. Guzik that Paul is referring to the great falling away of the church first and then the world. I mean, where do you think the world's going to go if the church is not in place? Straight to hell. And that's what we're seeing. We have a situation today, my beloved, where governments of the world don't even consult the church and double dog dare the church to say anything about what they're doing. Double dog dare, because you know why? They have their number. I don't just blame Obama and Obama's Supreme Court for what they did in sanctioning homosexual marriage, which even Lot in the Bible never heard of that. You know, as bad and as evil as those sodomites were, he never heard of homosexual marriage. No, I'm more disappointed and angry, if you will, with the church, so-called church leaders, men that we trusted and believed in that they would stand for God, and all the while they had been paid off and they sold the church down the river. This is why I'm so hated by people in the church, so-called church leaders, evangelical leaders. This is why they won't stand with me, but they'll stand with a man who has been divorced and remarried, left his wife for the secretary. They give him millions of dollars. And he left his wife for another woman in the church, married her, left his children, and they just crazy about him. And others who are worse. So the great falling away includes the church first and foremost. The world would not fall away like it has fallen away if it had not been for the church and the so-called church leaders. Red, yellow, black, and white. Paul may have both in mind, and I believe he does, because there is evidence of each in the end times. And I'll share these verses with you next time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, chapter 2, rather 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 4. I don't have time to deal with those today. We'll deal with those next time. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as you know, I'm not praying in a perfunctory manner. I am sincerely praying to you even at the end of this message. And I do pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for so many bishops and so many pastors and so many pastors' wives have failed a dying and lost world. So many churches have failed you, have failed Jesus Christ, and has failed a dying and lost world. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that still your Holy Ghost will move upon their hearts and save them in spite of hypocrites and phonies and fakes. Lord, help them to hear and understand the gospel and not be hindered by people who have claimed to be Christians but have proven to be false prophets and phonies. Lord, help them to get their souls saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those saints who have gotten caught up in the falling away, Lord, help them to get back from their backslidden state. And help all of us who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent of our sins. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this new audience that has the privilege of hearing your holy gospel and your holy word. And Lord, I'm not used to this camera being right in my face, but I pray that you will help me to get used to it so that sinners and people who don't know you will come to know you as Savior in these last and evil days. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, for those of you who are with us, and you don't know whether or not you would go to heaven if you died today, some of you may be sure that you would go straight to hell. If you don't want to go to hell and you want to be saved from hell and you want to stop living a hellacious life and you want to be saved from the burning hell and go to heaven to be with God, allow me to tell you the bad news and the good news. The bad news first. Bad news number one, dear friend, you are a wicked, evil, undone sinner. And so am I. So is the Pope, so is the Bishop, so is the Dalai Lama, and so is even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Holy Word of God says so. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done wrong. We all have broken God's commandments. God told us not to lie, and we have lied. Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. God told us not to steal, and we have stolen. God told us not to lust and to covet after people and things, and we have done them. We have done both. We have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected our parents, and God told us not to do so. God told us not to take his name in vain, and many of us have done so, trying to cover our own sins and lies. Lying on God and calling on his name in vain as a witness. God told us not to commit adultery. Many have done so in their hearts and with their bodies. Fornication, having sex before marriage, same thing. And some have committed the abomination of homosexuality. A man with a man, a woman with a woman, and so forth. So therefore, that makes all of us sinners. We all have sinned against God. We may not have done the same things, but we're all in the sin boat together. Bad news number two, we're going to die because of our sins. The Holy Bible says, the Holy Word of God says, the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sins. You say, what sins, preacher? The sins that I just mentioned. And more. The wages of sin is death. You want to know why we die? We die because of the sins we have committed all of our lives. The wages of sin is death. That means the paycheck of sin. As one preacher said many years ago, payday someday. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We all must stand before God and give an account of what we did in this life. Bad news number three, if you die without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell. To burn forever. Jesus Christ, a man who is still respected by people who don't even know him, a man so respected that he split time in half, that the world recognizes, a man so respected that even Walmart, that used to be a 24-hour store, closes down every Christmas. They lose billions of dollars by doing that. Same thing for Target, same thing for other stores. They would not do that if he was not the one and only Son of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, do you know him? He's the same man who healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the hungry by the thousands with a box lunch. He walked on the water, told the wind to be quiet and the waves to sit down. But yet he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than all of the prophets. He preached more on hell than all of the apostles. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And I'm here to tell you that you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior from hell and believe every word he has ever spoken. Because God does not play, the Son of God does not play. They love you, but they don't play. Everything in his word has come to pass and will come to pass and is coming to pass. Everything. So do not think foolishly that God loves you so much he will not put you in hell for your evil. In fact, you'll be the one putting yourself in hell. God created hell for the devil and his angels. He really did not create it for us. However, if we act like the devil, talk like the devil, do like the devil, we will go to hell with the devil. That's how that works. Okay? And hell is forever, just like heaven. So I strongly urge you, lovingly urge you, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most important words ever said in the history of the world. When he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so if you want to be saved from the burning hell, and saved from a hellacious life, and you want to be saved to go to heaven, it is not by your going to church, it is not by you're getting baptized, it is not by doing good works, it is not by giving a whole lot of money to the church or anybody else. It is simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. Pray and ask him to save you, for the Bible says, "Call, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So call on his name, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He was buried and rose on the third day, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, ready to hear your prayer and ready to save your soul. Is up to you. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. I'll help you to pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in none other and nothing else but Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have committed many of those sins that the preacher talked about. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please save my soul from hell, which I deserve, and save my soul to heaven, which I do not deserve. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul, for I believe in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and help me to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you prayed and asked him to save your soul, then according to the Word of God, according to the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and saved to heaven, wherever you are in the world. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to help you to grow in your newfound faith in Christ and to become a strong Christian, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. That is GospelLightSociety.com. And read my book free of charge titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Tap on that book. You can download it or you can read it right there and start growing thereby. Secondly, I want you to write on the front of GospelLightSociety.com, tap on the button, the Gospel Light Society podcast button, and it will lead you to thousands of podcasts that you can listen to anywhere in the world. All of them dealing with discipleship subjects, theological subjects that will help you to grow strong in the Lord. And dealing with nearly 50 different subjects, thousands of podcasts. All of this, like the book, is free of charge. You don't have to pay a dime for it. Also, email us at GLS at Gospel Light Society or DW3 at Gospel Light Society and .com, and let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have more material that we would like to send you, and this will help us to pray for you and to pray with you and also to rejoice in your salvation through the Lord. If you have a special prayer request, please email that to us as well. God bless you, dear friends. It's been a joy being with you today. And I want to remind you as we close to pray without ceasing. To read the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God. And remember, now that you are a born-again Christian, borrow the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis, remain always faithful. Borrow the motto of the Air Force and Space Force, Semper Supra, always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, pray for me as I pray for thee. And it's been a wonderful joy to be with this new audience today. God bless you for being with us today all around the world. And Lord willing, we'll see you next time. Lord willing, we'll see you next time. God bless you. As the music plays, I thank God for over 2,000 of you, dear folks, being with us today. Would somebody tell me how to cut off the camera safely? Thank you for the hearts. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. Even those who might have disagreed with me, I thank God for you as well. And I hope that each one of you would take the gospel to heart and truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and start serving Him. God bless you, my dear friends. Until next time. $2,271.